from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Well, good Wednesday morning to you. Tyler Ivins, Will West at TSL 99.1. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Star 990, a free phone call for AT&T and U.S. Cellular users. Tennessee, they had to play a full 40 minutes last night, but the Volunteers knock off Vanderbilt 65-61. A surge late. Tennessee, they had a 12-0 run late in that game with 2.5 minutes to go. They had a 13-point lead, 61-48. And still with a minute to go, you had Vanderbilt who poured it on. And it was a lot of people, when you're up 12 with 2.5 minutes to go, you're going to start having people reach for the car keys in their pocket. They're going to start standing up. They're going to start stretching, Will. They're going to start dusting the loose popcorn off their shirt. They're going to high-five the person beside them at TBA and go, that's a W, we needed that. And by the time you probably got through the tunnels or maybe climbed to the top, got to your car, you hadn't heard the horn yet, only to learn when you turned on the Vol Network here on 99.1 that Tennessee had not put away Vanderbilt just yet. Saban Lee kept the Commodores in that game until finally Jordan Bowden sealed things in the final seconds. Tennessee now, they improved to 7-6 in SEC play, but things get much difficult beginning this Saturday as they take on their former head coach Bruce Pearl down in the
playoffs. Yeah, it does. Tennessee got better in the second half, especially offensively. Tennessee ends up with just 16 three-pointers attempted. They had 10 at the halftime. Rick Barnes went nuts at the half about the way that they were playing offense and said they
rightfully so.
Not respecting the game is what he referred to it as. Goodness gracious. But Tennessee locks it up a little bit, does what they need to do to win. I don't understand this team at all.
None whatsoever.
I'm sure that it's got to be frustrating for Barnes. And look, it's probably tough because basketball right now is about how many threes can you throw up and can you knock these down, and analytics people will tell you the safest shot in basketball is the corner three. And it's just that's not what works when it comes to wins and losses. And so for Tennessee, their players, I understand the idea of maybe they're kind of losing their minds a little bit of thinking this is the way you're supposed to play basketball in 2020. It's just a losing proposition for them. First half, losing proposition. Second half, they get it together. They end up getting the win there. You're right, Saban Lee almost shot Vandy back into this thing. But Vandy was a team that I thought that, man, they fell in love with the three. Tennessee didn't fall in love with the three in the second half. Tennessee gets the W.
It's really a story by two different teams. Tennessee, they found a way to win games. They only had 1 point from John Fulkerson at halftime, only to see him pour in 16 of his 17 in the second half. Santiago Vescovi did just enough to put Tennessee over the hump. But when you look at Vanderbilt, Will, this is a team who can compete with SEC teams. They're just having difficulties closing the door.
Right, yeah, now. No, they are. And I do think some of that shot selection for them. Yeah. And look, this is a different year. And I know it sounds like a broken record that I keep saying, well, shot selection, why are you taking 27 threes in a game when you're shooting 30%? It's a different year. It's because they moved the three-point line out, teams aren't knocking down 35, 40% of their threes. 38% some teams were shooting last year. So it's not analytically a better shot than the two-point shot. That was the difference I thought in this game. Tennessee got to the free throw line. Tennessee worked the ball into Fulkerson in the second half. Tennessee was the more aggressive basketball team in the second half, and that's why Tennessee ended up winning this game.
You look at this Volunteer program right now, and to the people out there who made the trip early game last night, perhaps maybe you squeezed the 6:30 tip-off in, you thought to yourself, can this Tennessee team actually make a push for the NCAA tournament? We just brought up Auburn. For those of you who are wondering what the final five games look like for Tennessee, back-to-back roadies, which include Auburn and Arkansas, will they have Florida at home? They go to Rupp Arena only to come back for a season finale at home against Auburn.
Yeah, it gets more difficult, right?
I hate the fact that they delayed the inevitable, but I think things are going to get a little messy here, especially with inconsistencies out of Tennessee. If Rick Barnes is going into the locker room 20 minutes saying that they're not respecting the game,
yeah,
there's more than just issues there. I don't know if they have a go-to scorer, and can you really rely on John Fulkerson to go from 2 points average a game, 5 points average a game season by season, now up to 16 points a game? I don't know. I just feel like Tennessee's missing that second score, and I don't know who
it is. Well, the one thing that, and they don't have that, right? And the tough part's that it's going to have to be by committee, which means you have to share the basketball. And Tennessee finishes the first half with 7 assists. They finish the game with 17 assists. 17 assists is nice. You'll win almost, you win the very vast majority of the games where you end up with 17 assists in a game. But Tennessee was sitting at 7 at the end of the first half. Tennessee was sitting, like I said, shot selections, a lot of that. Then it get to the free throw line. Something that Fulkerson does very, very well, and I think a lot of it's just his game is awkward a little bit, and teams don't, guys don't know how to defend that. Guys also don't know how to defend on the block. I mean, LeBron James is, at worst, probably the fourth best basketball player that's ever walked on the face of the earth. That guy didn't learn to defend the block until he was in the year 6 or 7 in the NBA. So if you've got somebody like Fulkerson, work the ball into him and let him get to the free throw line. It's a lot better shot than it is, you know, a couple passes to the outside, reverse the basketball, throw up a three with 17 seconds left in the shot clock. And for Tennessee last night, they shoot 42% from the field, right?
Yeah.
4 of 16 from beyond the arc. Remove those three-pointers. Tennessee shoots 50%. You take that all day, shooting 50% and getting to the free throw line and knocking down 19 of your 22 free throws. You take that all day. So that's the thing that Tennessee can play with these teams moving forward. But, man, that shot selection, you can't revert back into bad habits. And they want to be a certain type of team. They aren't that team. And a lot of that's probably because Lamonte and Bowden are guys who they have been perimeter shooters during their careers. And they were the ones that were the leaders of this team. And so everybody wants to do that. Josiah Jordan-James coming directly from the AAU ranks. Vescovi is an outside shooter. That's what he does. It's just, that's not the shot for Tennessee. And so you've got to work the ball into Fulkerson. You got to work the ball into Pons. You got to dribble drive penetration, get in the lane, create something or get a foul.
Tennessee needs a quad one victory in the worst way.
Yeah.
And they have an opportunity to do that this Saturday on the road. But is this where I remind you and everybody listening this morning, Tennessee hasn't won back-to-back games since January 21st.
Well, there's also, you're playing a team that what they do is get you to try to match them. They suck teams into playing at their pace. Whoever the pace is, like Tennessee could still lose this game if you get the game played at their pace. You have no chance playing at Auburn's pace. And if Auburn's out there throwing up 37, 40 three-pointers in a game, Tennessee can't let that number hit 20. And so it takes a different level of discipline than we've seen from this team for them to have a chance to beat Auburn, I think. And if they do play at that discipline, they could still lose this game. And it's been a while since Tennessee's been able to stay disciplined like that for a week in a row, much less multiple weeks in a row.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Good morning on a Wednesday, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Josiah Jordan-James returning to the starting lineup after the groin injury, held scoreless. The freshman having difficulty staying out of foul trouble. We'll talk more about Rick Barnes' program. Getting the W last night, 6 consecutive now over Vanderbilt. Not only that, but Joe Burrow says that he has leverage over the Cincinnati Bengals. Does that mean we have another Eli Manning situation on our hand? 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee held off a late Vanderbilt charge to down the Commodore 65-61 Tuesday night inside TBA. John Fulkerson, Jordan Bowden, 17 points. Tennessee has won 6 straight in the series. Tennessee football's Trey Smith was named the 2020 Jason Witten Collegiate Man of the Year. The Volunteer offensive lineman beat out 2 other finalists and Air Force quarterback Isaiah Sanders, USC wide receiver Michael Pittman. Tennessee Volunteer baseball team was an 8-2 winner over Charlotte Tuesday afternoon. Zach Daniels, 3 hits, 3 runs driven in during the win. The latest update on NASCAR's Ryan Newman say the 2008 Daytona 500 winner is awake and speaking with family and friends in Halifax Medical Center in Daytona. Newman wrecked on the final lap of Monday's race and was rushed to a hospital immediately. Around the NFL, Saints quarterback Drew Brees will come back for his 20th NFL season, and former Panthers tight end Greg Olsen has agreed, reportedly, on a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Seahawks. Love Keno to go, there's more to love. When you add Bullseye to your play, you can win up to $300,000. 612, get a check of the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. Good morning, I'm Eric Kane. One baby to another says I'm
lucky to meet you. I don't care what you think, unless it is about me.
It's our all Dave Grohl playlist today on the starting lineup. Certain concert announcement happened during the EA show right after us yesterday.
Somebody's pretty juiced for what happened. April 20th. That's when they're going to be in Knoxville. Look, Brian Rice, I see that guy happy very little.
Yeah, no. There's two things that make Brian Rice happy. Pellet Ice and the Foo Fighters.
Done. Both. I don't, like, right now, if our boy was in here from Family Feud, if Harvey was in here and he was giving us the old top one answers on the board, yeah. I don't know how you could fit both of those on the same number one answered.
So I saw when the last time, I don't know if it was the last time they're here. I don't remember now. They, back in the day, They played Thompson Bowling Arena with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Foo Fighters did.
Really?
And they played at Disc Exchange, an acoustic surprise set in the middle of the day. And they just played acoustic, some of their songs from the album. And then Dave Grohl just starts taking requests. Middle of the Disc Exchange. And so he plays a Madonna song, a Pixie song. Like, just starts going through just all this weird stuff. They just start taking requests and playing whatever song that you want to. The Foo Fighters did. It was absolutely fantastic.
How many rock stars do we have left? Because Dave Grohl, to me, is a rock star.
Dave Grohl's a rock star. Jack White is a rock star. I think, is Jared Leto a rock star?
Like, he's got a Grammy and an Oscar.
Yeah. But is he an actor first, musician second?
See, I'll always think of Jared Leto as an actor first.
Yeah, I will as well. So you're right. I don't consider
this is
him
coming from a 30
Bono's,
seconds
Bono's a rock star.
Yeah.
Is that it? Billy Joe Armstrong, is he a rock star?
Oh, I don't put the Green Day lead guy there.
Well, just because they disappear, right? Yeah. They do their albums and then leave. You know? Right. It's not like they're sitting there trying to get a ton of publicity or any walking red carpets or anything like that. Got kids and stuff. What do you
do,
man?
So it's a small handful that we still have remain.
Yeah, we don't have very many rock stars. The other rock stars we have are rappers now, right? That are what we used to have as rock stars. Now it's rappers.
Is Bono number one? Who's the number one rock star still remaining?
It's probably because Bowie's passed away. Yeah. Mick Jagger's a rock star. Okay. So it's probably Mick Jagger. But it's probably Bono too, after Mick Jagger.
Dave Grohl, man, you're gonna get
he's probably three.
You get Grohl twice in Knoxville in 19 months. Essentially, if you missed it the first time, you get a second chance. Yeah. All right, you get a reprieve here. They're not gonna be opening by the Struts, who I'm a fan of, but you're still gonna get Dave Grohl and you're still gonna get the Foo Fighters for an incredible, incredible show. Every person who I know who went to the show X amount of months back simply said, one of the best shows I've ever seen. And yeah. I didn't have to go to Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville to see it.
How cool is it that and a lot of people were against alcohol sales at Thompson Bowling Arena, but it is meant that we get all of these concerts that are just awesome.
Shout out to the beer person who pushed that forward.
Yeah.
You know what? If I have to go to a concert and I have to buy one $14 beer every time I'm there just to push bigger shows. I mean, do you think Elton John's coming here without beer sales?
No, there's no chance. There's no chance.
I mean, do you think any of the shows that have come here, I mean, we were getting kind of semi-big country acts, but you best believe Garth doesn't come here without that.
Yeah, no. It just has helped things. And look, for me, I don't drink, but it's not my business to tell everybody else if they get to drink. I don't get to tell Ivins if he can have a beer or not when he's at a ball game or at a concert.
This is really good.
So it's just a matter of, I don't know, moving into the 20th century is what our legislature did. And good job by the state senate, city council, all and mayors, everything like that, getting it done.
Speaking of mayors.
Yes. If you're unaware, Tyler and I get to be your acting mayors in Knox County on Friday. So if you have any executive orders that you would like to have us see us pass, we're more than happy to do that for you. I've already said I'm going to get a lot of Knox County letterhead and create executive orders that Avery has to do things like she has to listen to me, do what I say, keep a room clean.
Kaner, are you ready for the responsibilities that come with you being super producer of TSL while Will and I are doing our mayor thing?
Well, I'm already having to juggle the world with you guys anyway, so nothing will really much change.
Yeah, fair enough.
That kind of attitude, there'll be an executive order put in place about how much toot you give us, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
You imagine every morning waking up and looking up at your television screen on the other side of that glass, and there's an executive order staring you down, kind of like a principal.
America's a great place to where if I don't like I don't like what you're doing in office here, I can just blast you with 280 characters.
So. Yeah, that's fine. You can blast us, but if we do an executive order that you're now a Reds fan, you have to become a Reds fan legally.
Cincinnati.
Or move outside of Knox, or stay outside of Knox County.
I'm like Joe Burrow. I don't know about that.
Speaking of Cincinnati, you want to talk about Burrow's comments?
Man. See, here's the thing.
You're twisting it.
This is why I have a problem, because I watched this on Get Up yesterday.
You're twisting it.
If you read Joe Burrow, one, we don't have the full context of Joe Burrow's comments. Two, when you read the comments, it's like it reads as if he was asked point blank, do you have leverage? And he says, I do have leverage. Because nobody would say, I do have leverage if they're not asked that specifically. And then he says, the Cincinnati Bengals have their process and I have my process. And I'm not ripping you specifically.
He always, I like to call that a transition, what I just did.
Yeah, it was solid.
He said, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to go back to Ohio and all that stuff. So, I mean, he said, there's a whole lot. We're not even to the combine yet.
But look, we get up yesterday. They're just crushing him. And it's former players.
Yeah.
This is why athletes hate the media. It's because we do things like this, and we don't know the context. His mother, Robin, came out and said, no, that's not what he meant by this, right? So, but we're all going to run with it. NFL Network runs with it, and that's the NFL. ESPN runs with it. This is why athletes don't give us anything, is because when they answer a question honestly, we turn it and twist it into something else. I saw, what is his name, Emmanuel Acho or whatever his name is on Get Up yesterday, talking about
turtleneck.
Yeah, talking about, like, your name's not Manning. You don't get to have, you can't say you have leverage ahead of the draft process. Yes, well, he does have leverage. And if he's asked point blank, do you have leverage? You know what his answer is going to be?
Will, are you wearing a green hoodie today?
I am wearing a green hoodie today.
Will, are you wearing a Hotspur hat?
Do you have a Bang Energy in your hand right now,
Will? I'm asking you point blank.
I do have a Bang Energy in my hand right now.
Eric Kane, are you wearing a shirt that is symbolic of the Sandlot?
Yep.
Yeah, am I wearing an Islanders throwback shirt right now?
Solid shirt, by the way.
Thank you, appreciate it. Love the Fisherman Sticks logo. Yes, point blank, asking questions. So I ask you, is this turning into an Eli Manning Chargers Giants situation?
No, it's not. But what it is turning into is Joe Burrow deciding I don't need to have conversations with the media. And he would be smart not to do this if this is the way that it's going to be done. And I hate that. But there's a reason that quarterbacks give, like Levitard, they always bring young quarterbacks on.
Sure.
And they say, how good are you at being a quarterback yet? And the lads say, we're going to ask you questions and you give us the most vague answer you possibly can. And they will play that game with young quarterbacks, like rookies in the NFL, second year guys in the NFL, and guys get ready for the draft process. This is why quarterbacks are the one, they give you nothing, because we overreact and twist everything that they say. And so the public's going to wake up today, see Joe Burrow has leverage, and what are they going to think? Egomaniac, who does he think he is, yada, yada, yada. It would be really weird for me to say, I'm just sitting here holding a Bang Energy drink in my hand to say, I do have a Bang Energy drink in my hand, without being prompted by that, right? So why would Joe Burrow say, I do have leverage in that situation? If he said, I have leverage, that's fine. You could take that in a different context.
Right.
But when you say, I do have leverage, the context clues tell you he was asked point blank if you have leverage or not, I would say.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. So if Joe Burrow stays number one to Cincinnati, what does that mean for Tua? Does he climb as high as 3 to Detroit, 5 to Miami? And where does Justin Herbert come into play here? And there are NFL scouts out there that believe that Herbert is a better selection than Tua Tagovailoa. Could we see 3 quarterbacks taken in the first 5 picks? And could we see 5 quarterbacks taken in the first 32 picks? Hard to believe that the NFL draft in Vegas, just short of 8 weeks away. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Stick around.
When we were moving the ball, we had good offense. We had good flow at that point when we got the lead. They missed a couple really wide open shots where we were fortunate. But I just not real happy with the way we started the game, and I wasn't very happy with the way we finished the game.
Fortunate, the key word there. Tennessee is fortunate to get out of Thompson Bowling Arena with a 65-61 victory over Vanderbilt. Now 6 consecutive wins against their in-state rival. Welcome you inside the starting lineup, 99.1. You're listening to the Sports Animal. The Vols 12-0 run. They grabbed a 61-48 advantage. Grab your keys, warm the car up, but don't look over your shoulder because you might see Vanderbilt go on their own run and cut it down to as little as 4 in the final seconds, and then Jordan Bowden has to hit those free throws late to seal the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know how to really put my finger on a Tennessee team, but one thing is for certain, they're very bleak, but I don't know if anybody in this city, anybody in this state, anybody that wears Tennessee orange outside of the people who are just flat homers believe that the Vols can make a third consecutive NCAA tournament appearance.
They're at 62 in the net rankings right now. The unfortunate part is this, like with the RPI was stupid. At least we knew what the RPI was, and you knew how you could get yourself into the tournament.
Right.
The NCAA won't release the net rankings, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, kids, for those out there that need a quick lesson in life, people don't hide things unless they need to hide them. So there's no telling what the net ranking is for them to get there. Is there another path besides winning out in the regular season and winning 2 in the NCAA tournament or winning the SEC tournament?
You know what? Right now, Tennessee has a better chance, in my opinion, of running the table in Nashville than they do actually getting the wins they need in the regular season.
Of knocking off at Auburn, at Arkansas, Florida at home.
The teams that are ahead of them right now in the SEC standings, Will, only South Carolina is the team that they beat and they needed to get at. I mean, both games were highly contested. You could say what you will. There were charge calls late in the final 10 seconds that was the difference in both games. But ahead of Tennessee, they got blasted by Mississippi State. They've yet to play Florida. They get blasted by LSU. They got Auburn twice coming up, and they still have a rematch against Kentucky. So, I mean, the teams that they have to get in front of to people who are still standing between them and a chance. I mean, Will, we talked about it. I believe people were saying 19 and a half wins, 20 wins for this Tennessee team at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Then if you look inside the numbers, Vegas believes that Lamonte Turner's injury cost them 1.3 of their wins. So let's say you drop it down to 18 and a half or 18 wins to get into the NCAA tournament with the schedule they had preseason, like VCU and matchups against Florida State. Okay. Well, right now, Tennessee has 15 wins. The Vols somewhere have got to find 3 to 4 more wins. Who remaining gives them a chance to get 3 to 4 more wins?
Yeah, no, the key is you got to beat 2 of Auburn, Arkansas, Florida, and then win
2 in Nashville, maybe?
2 in Nashville. Yeah, that's the... And then maybe. Then you're hoping, I'll be honest.
And one of those teams is a team you're playing for the third time, likely?
Yeah, and let's be very real. It's if this was not Tennessee, if this was Nebraska in the Big Ten, we would say, I would rather you go ahead and put another A-10 team in, or a Missouri Valley team in, or a West Coast Conference team in. Right. I would rather you see you do that. Like, if I was the tournament on the tournament selection committee, that's what I would do this year. Is we would just see fewer power conference teams because they're so weak, and I would put more of the mid-majors in and give them a shot in this thing. Now, Tennessee, it's not off the table that Tennessee can get there, but I do think that's the scenario, right? You beat Auburn Saturday. You
beat Auburn and get a quadrant one victory. All of a sudden, now people are starting to get fired up again.
You beat Arkansas, and you've won 3 straight, and that's the...
If you went back-to-back roadies and you're 17-11 this time next week...
You got a shot.
I think you go from a 10% chance, 12% chance, you're now in the 33-35 range.
Am I wrong? People have kind of just accepted what this season is, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they should. And you should. Like, sometimes this just happens. Now, you don't have... Barnes isn't losing his mind like Roy is, where he's dropping F-bombs. Mr. Dadgum himself, so he doesn't cuss, dropped an F-bomb on television the other day.
And you know that he really means it, too, when he drops an F-bomb and then follows it up with, you guys know me, I don't do that.
Yeah, and he doesn't do that.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, and he doesn't. That's Opie Taylor, dude. Opie Taylor doesn't cuss like that. And you saw old Dadgum himself just dropping the bomb on him. You know what, though? It's kind of like, it's back in the day, like, my dad did not cuss. And so, like, the 1 or 2 times he ever did cuss at me, man, I knew I was in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, I had done messed up at that point. It matters more. Well, like, there's a lot more weight to it when that happens. Rick Barnes isn't there with this team, but it is kind of a similar situation in that it's just, this is a down cycle year. Some of that's injuries. Some of that's Bowden not hitting shots. Some of that's having freshmen that aren't ready. Josiah Jordan James having the injuries he's dealt with. And so, but man, does the future look bright for next season. You hate that for Bowden, but man, the future looks really good.
Does it just hit different when people in the Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Rick Barnes age, I guess, when they're in that age area, whenever they get upset? Is it just different whenever you see, like, your grandparents get upset? What I mean by that is, like, you see Roy Williams say it, and you're just like, oh, man, look at Roy Williams going off. Oh, man, look at the way Mike Krzyzewski's yelling at the Blues. The Cameron Crazies. Oh, man, he's one of us. Don't say that. You're like, oh, God, sorry, Coach K.
Yeah,
Rick Barnes is like, this is pathetic. We don't have the right mindset talking to the sideline reporter last night going into the locker room. You're just like, oh, man.
Well, I think it's it depends on if you are that, right? Like Brian Kelly, it's like, when I was in basic training, when the drill sergeant's just dog cussing you and yelling at you,
right.
You don't care. You know what I mean? Like it's the first couple days is like, whoa. That after that, it's literally just noise. You know what I mean? And so whatever, I don't care. So if you've got a coach it's very similar, I think, that is a yeller and a screamer and a butt kicker, it's just noise and you don't care what they say. But when you got that coach that isn't a butt kicker like that and that doesn't drop F-bombs and they drop an F-bomb on you, it's like, oh, goodness. We got to get it together here.
Do you believe looking at Tennessee this year, let's say it goes the route that we think it will, okay?
Yeah, will they fall just short, man, the NIT?
All right. Next year, you bring in highly touted recruits.
Yeah.
You have another additional year of Santiago Vescovi and Joe James.
And that is a nice backcourt next
year. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. It looks shiny. It looks great. We're looking at it on the showroom floor, and we're like, man, I got to get behind the wheel of that. Let's go ahead and pull that out and give that a spin. What happens next year if Tennessee gets off to kind of a, hey, we're only 18-year-old kid slow start, and we got to run and learn the SEC way of things? Like, I think Tennessee fans have done a pretty good job this year of not calling up the phone lines and being like, making $4.5 million, fire him. Like, okay, let's be real. We kind of knew this was happening when you replaced 4 guys from your starting lineup.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee fans have been pretty reasonable this year.
If it starts out that way, it's one thing. I just have a hard time believing that that's going to happen. I mean, you got a really nice Vescovi. Look at the way that Muscovy wasn't supposed to play.
Nope.
And so, and look how good he is right now.
Right.
So imagine if he has an entire offseason of training program and everything under his belt to get better. Josiah Jordan-James has not been healthy since he got here. And he has an entire offseason to get healthy and to kind of figure some things out. And I've got Jalen Johnson, who's a senior, and maybe Jalen Johnson decides to transfer and go play somewhere else if he's not starting. Who knows? But I've got Devontae Gaines, who has another year. That's my third guard in that situation. I find it hard to believe that Yves Pons is a senior at that point, right? You've got Fulkerson, who's a senior at that point. I just have a hard time believing that Kumwa is going to be a sophomore and he's going to give you more. I just have a hard time with Drew Pember as a shooter coming off your bench.
Right.
I just think I have a hard time believing the Tennessee team's not going to be much improved based on Rick Barnes' career and also based on the bodies that are on that roster right now. It's not like they're sitting there at 11-15. They're at 15-11.
Do we already have a pretty good idea of what next year's team's going to look like when it comes to the starting five?
Most likely. I think we see a lineup of Muscovy, James, Pons, and Fulkerson.
Where do you put Jaden Springer?
Is that the fifth starter? Or do you think that or does Gaines take a job from somebody?
I think immediately game one might not be Springer, but I think Springer's in your starting five.
I mean, you're going to see majority of your starting lineups next year with Joe James, Jaden Springer in it. You have to. And then if Muscovy can cut down on his turnovers, then all of a sudden it's just like, man, he is just garnished right now. You want your size with Fulkerson and Pons, but I mean, like, immediately I ask myself, if you're Tennessee, can Joe James play the three?
Well, I mean, you're just going three out, two in is what you'll do.
I understand. I'm just trying to say how can I get the most effective on the floor at
once. Yeah, but you do two shooting guards. So you have three out, two in. I think that's what you do if Springer's your other guy that's there.
Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. All is not lost this year, but Tennessee needs to do something they haven't done in almost a month, and that's win back-to-back games. You got to go back to the victory against Vanderbilt, Nashville, and then the follow-up against Ole Miss. Yeah, that was January 21st, the last time Tennessee won back-to-back Ws. They have to do that again when they visit Bruce Pearl and they go down to Auburn Saturday. That tip-off time slated for noon. That means we're going to get things underway with the Vol Network beginning at 11:30 this Saturday. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, Tennessee, a winner over Vanderbilt last night. Sixth straight win in the series. 65-61, the final score. John Fulkerson, Jordan Bowden led the way with 17 points apiece. Elsewhere around the SEC, number 10 Kentucky escaped LSU 79-76. Florida defeated Arkansas 73-79. Missouri got by Ole Miss 71-268. Elsewhere around college basketball, top-ranked Baylor down Oklahoma 65-54. Fifth-ranked Dayton beat VCU 66-61. Number 7 Maryland beat Northwestern 76-67. Eighth-ranked Florida State top Pittsburgh 82-67. And in the NBA, no Cavaliers are reportedly ready to part ways with Coach John Beilein and will promote J.B. Bickerstaff to head coach. Love Keno to go? There's more to love when you add Bullseye for your chance to win up to $300,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play your way today. 6:42, get a check of the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
I'm not real happy with John and Eve. I mean, to play Eve made there at the end of the game is just something you can't do. I mean, dribble the ball out, let somebody come from behind you. You know they're coming.
Rick Barnes. Team gets a W, but still disappointed in the 65-61. Can I say the come-from-behind victory? I mean, I know they led with 2.5 minutes to go, but you're tied at halftime. Vanderbilt's lead was as much as 6 in the second half.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make it out to be something that it wasn't. I'm just saying that Tennessee had their struggles last night, and clearly their coach was upset last night. Yes. Rick Barnes has every right to be upset. I will say, though, Yves Pons, though, going after and finishing a play and ripping a loose ball away from one of the Vandy defenders, kind of like snatching an ice cream cone out of a kid's hand. Yves Pons, he has the physical look. It's just, can he put it all together?
Well, but he came in raw.
At the same time, though, he's the reason why Tennessee leads the SEC in blocks because of just the attributes he brings to the
table.
He's
a complete 180 from where he was. And that's right there. I mean, he is – last year he had all the athletic ability, and he just – what can you give me? Can you defend? You're in the starting rotation. You're giving me 10 minutes a game. Well, what can you now – You've seen flashes on the offensive end. You've seen him crash the boards, but his defense, and he's leading the SEC in blocks. I mean, he is a monster contributor on this team for sure.
He's also a guy I can throw. I can throw at a big man, and it's going to frustrate him because he's a smaller guy that can get up high enough to frustrate them. He's not afraid to put a body in somebody, which is something that's not done in college basketball and, frankly, big-time basketball in 2020. Yeah. So I just look at Pons as, like, Pons is raw. His offensive skills, not great. But, man, is it getting better quickly?
Yeah, it's getting better.
More to get to with Tennessee coming up in hour number two of the program. That in less than 13 minutes. But now, would you on a Wednesday?
Would ya? Language of origin, not of this world. Definition, a segment written by the producer of the show, allowing the host to answer the tough questions of the morning. Spelling, W-O-L-D-J-A. Get all that? Powered by New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center.
All right, gentlemen, what would you say will be Tennessee's record down the stretch with five games to go? Now, here they are, at Auburn, at Arkansas, against Florida, at Kentucky, and against Auburn. Tennessee's stretch, what do you have them going?
2-3. 2-3. I think they go to Arkansas and get a W. And I'm trying to debate if they get the, do they get the Auburn victory here at home or do they get the Florida victory at home? They're going to get one of the home games and they're going to get the road game at Arkansas. I don't think they can go to Rupp and win. They're not going to win in the Plains this weekend. The other three, they're in that kind of toss-up territory.
Yeah, no, it is that. It is 2-3, I think, is where they end up when it's all said and done. And that probably means an NIT for the Tennessee team. Can they do better than that, go 3-2 or 4-1? Yes, but right now, the most likely scenario, I'll tell you what I don't like. At Arkansas and Florida are back-to-back because it doesn't seem like this team can put together back-to-back games like that. If you flipped the Auburn game and the Florida game, I would say, yeah, Tennessee gets that win against Florida. Florida is the most underachieving team in all of basketball right now. So I'll say that's the one that they win, but I agree with Tyler that the 2-3 is the answer.
All right, which comments on the Astros and Rob Manfred would you say carries more weight from yesterday? Is it the soft-spoken veteran Nick Markakis of the Atlanta Braves or NBA superstar LeBron James speaking out on Twitter?
All right, 80% of our audience doesn't know who Nick Markakis is. So it's and LeBron James is literally the biggest star in America. So because of that, I'll say it's LeBron James.
I would say actually it's Nick Markakis. You're right. 80% of our listening audience might not know who Nick Markakis is, but the comments coming from him saying that every person on the Astros needs to catch a beating.
If you know who he is and heard what he said, you're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's LeBron trying, you know, LeBron tweeting about something that is not in his sport, all right? And when LeBron tweets, everybody feels like LeBron, we should listen, and LeBron is, you know, and I'm not saying LeBron doesn't have a point here because he does. It's just,
it's just LeBron's LeBron. So whether he's right or wrong, it's going to carry more weight publicly because he's just LeBron James, right?
It's getting to the point in time now where it seems like every baseball player has bitten their tongue. Nick Markakis is just like, no, the commissioner's a joke. They need to catch a beating. What are we going to do about it? Nick Markakis is ready to light the torches and lead the charge, it sounds like.
Shed his beard, too, so a new look. Who would you say drafts two of, the Lions or the Dolphins?
Look, I'm not buying into the whole we're getting rid of Matt Stafford and we're going to draft Tua at number three. So I still think the plans of him going to the Dolphins at five are on the table. Now, the combine hasn't happened yet, and we're still more than 8 weeks away from the NFL draft. He's a top five quarterback, but I believe Detroit, even though it might be the right decision, doesn't make that decision. Stafford's their quarterback week one.
Stafford's going to be it's going to be the Dolphins. And the only way that it happens is who's going to trade up with Detroit so they can trade back. What would be interesting is this. Somebody trades up with Detroit, and then like you can't pull the trigger with the trade with Detroit early because what if the Redskins decide to trade back? And so you have those two teams. How much are you willing to give up? If that is the case, then somebody ends up with Trey Young, or do you end up with Justin Herbert there? I don't know. I don't know how the trade situation is going to go down, and we won't know until we literally get on the clock for the second pick. But I don't think the Lions are going to move on from Stafford. I think Matt Patricia hates him. I think that it would be stupid to move on from Matthew Stafford. I also think Matt Patricia's a bum, and they shouldn't have kept him as coach this year.
Yeah, how about they move on from Matt Patricia?
Yeah.
Slob.
If you've got a head coach that can't show up within half an hour of the start time of the meeting he calls, it's time to move on from that head coach.
Yeah. All right, if I gave you Cincinnati or the field, where would you say Joe Burrow plays?
Cincinnati. I don't read anything into anything that was going on here. He's from South Ohio. The leverage comment sounds like he was asked that point blank. His mom has even come out and said, we have no idea where that came from, where people are saying that Joe's like trying to big time or just looking to. I mean, we know Steve Barkowski's the one that said they should Eli Manning Cincinnati. And if he was from literally anywhere else, I would agree. And I would tell the Bengals, no chance. But you're from South Ohio. You can't tell the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't think, and your family still live there. No, I'm not coming there to play.
Copy and paste.
I could so see my mom coming out there and saying, well, he didn't mean that, you know, just sticking up for me and like
she would
that.
Offer everybody Christmas cookies in
she
July.
She probably would. She's such a delight. All right, last one. Which available or believed to be soon available quarterback would you rather have outside of Tom Brady? It'd be Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, maybe Jameis Winston.
To me, I'm still going to go with Phillip Rivers here. Listen, you got to get him on a team that has weapons and a solid defense. Now, I say you can pretty much say that about any quarterback in the NFL. Give me those attributes, and I'm there for it.
See Melvin Gordon's comments?
Yeah, Indianapolis. Sounds like that's where he's going to go.
We've been calling that.
I had no idea about the offensive assistant that he had such a great relationship with at San Diego, now is with Indy.
Indy's got a solid defense, and here's the reason why. If you have a defense that's keeping teams out of games, Phillip Rivers doesn't trip over himself and have to throw 4 interceptions a game, all right? Don't put him in a predicament where he has to throw interceptions. Rivers still has a big arm. Rivers still can put you in games and win games for you. He just needs a defense to back him up.
One guy's a Hall of Famer. The rest of them, I don't want. Teddy Bridgewater, I'd want. I don't want the rest of them. So, yeah, no, the answer is Phillip Rivers at the end of the day. Is he older? Do you have literally 2 years with him? Yes. But I'd rather go ahead and put the Band-Aid on with Phillip Rivers than try to make this work somehow, some way with these other guys that I don't believe in 2 years are going to be starting quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Quickly, 10 seconds before we get to the read. Drew Brees shocked. He's returning at 41.
No. He should return. Yeah. I mean, I think he's got another year under his belt. He should go try to make one more run on it. The Saints are close. And if you have a healthy Alvin Kamara this year, That can change things, man.
New Balance Knoxville bringing you Woodjo on a Wednesday.
That's right. Suburban Shopping Center for New Balance Knoxville. If you've not seen the latest styles, latest colorways they have in New Balance Knoxville right now, made in the USA product, the perfect fit every single time with the fit test they give you at New Balance Knoxville.
All right, Vols, we'll get a practice report in for you coming up. Trey Smith picking up some hardware. Not only that, but the ACC is backing the Big Ten's proposal to allow every athlete a one-time transfer without sitting.
And the NCAA, the working group is on board, which means it is going to happen.
Hour number 2 of TSL, it's on the way next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.